Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
What's up, you guys? Not Sean Rossap here. He's got the night off. I still don't even know why. But Kate's here, so that's great. I'm Alex. This is Kate.
Because he's running away from the grind, bruv.
That's right. I'm stepping up here. The grind is as scary as the Wyatt Six, so he is running away from it. Hey, everybody. It's Alex Pulaski and Kate, your normal Tuesday hosts. I'm usually here, but I don't get to be fun on Wednesdays when Sean's around. But now the boss left us in charge, so all bets are off.
It's like when on sitcoms, when the parent would leave and be like, "Here's $20 for pizza. Now you kids behave." And the next thing you know, there's like a bust of Elvis getting cracked by some rascals on Saved by the Bell. It's going to be a lot like that. You know what I mean. So get in your super chats. Get in your Humper Chats at humperchats.com. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. So much news. If you are trying to keep up with a single contract in the whole wide world, there's only one place to go, and that's FightfulSelect.com. You will have all of the latest and greatest breaking news there, and so much more. Yesterday, NXT Scoops thread, some updates about Joe Hendry went up there today as well. Always have your producers up there, and also join the Fightful Select Discord. Interact, hang out with normal people, avoid the weirdos on Twitter, but so much happening on FightfulSelect.com. It is a busy, busy summer. Get your news from there. Get it accurately from there. Don't wait for aggregators to screw everything up. Subscribe today if you're not. But man, oh man, this was a really, really fun episode of Dynamite. I was like very excited that I get to talk about it here tonight because 2 weeks ago I thought it was a really bad episode. And last week I was like back on track. And this week I was like, oh my God, it's like one of those episodes that made me feel so excited to be a wrestling fan. But yeah, I loved what we got tonight.
I'm anxious.
You're anxious? Why are you anxious, Alex?
I'm anxious. They're putting a lot of irons in the fire together in weird ways. Like the Hechicero calling out MJF felt like, oh cool, I want to see that match, but that's out of the blue. And then this fact that like it dovetails somehow into the Daniel Garcia versus Will Ospreay thing. Like there's a lot of like, I'm like, that's a lot of irons in the fire. And you just want to make sure that's a high difficulty program to book.
You know what I mean? It is. And I give them a lot of credit because I feel like everything was siloed from each other for a really long time. And so now they're trying to make more things dovetail. And I don't know if they found the sweet spot, because I also felt that way about the women's segment in the contract signing, where I was like, I don't know if we need to go another step with Saraya and Harley Cameron in this. So I feel like everything, nobody interacted, and now it feels like everybody's interacting. And I think they need to try that that balance a little bit more.
Yeah. I just want to make sure I call out the unmitigated hypocrisy from SRS, who said earlier today, Jimmy Van doesn't like to show up to work. Well, look who's calling the pot black, Mr. Kettle, or whatever that is.
Yeah, you nailed it, Alex. Yeah. You got it right. Because you know what? I was here for work on Monday. I was here for work yesterday. I was here for work today. I'm not here for work tomorrow because I'm going to Collision. But I was here for work on, I'll be here for work on Friday.
I am here, let the record show, every day except for Friday. I'm on vacation. So how dare SRS take the night off? There will be no sour grapes on Friday, and that is a shoot, brother, because I am on vacation and am too lazy to figure out if I can podcast from where I am staying. So that is it.
Get to go on vacation. And also, Sean did his whole other job of maintaining the entire company outside of that today. But whatever. Today, Alex and I are not running from the grind. We are here.
No. Puns?
Let's do like family puns because of all the bruv talk.
Okay.
We haven't had a lot of familial puns.
Okay, family puns. You can do extended. You know, you can do like cousin.
Sure.
Yeah.
Friends that are like family.
I mean, sure. People were saying running puns for running from the grind.
We can do running puns. I'm fine with that.
Running puns? Exercise puns? Calisthenics. Don calisthenics.
See, you're already off to a great start.
Exercise puns running from the grind.
If you don't join our other very weird shows, we do wrestling puns that dovetail with another category. So there you go.
Yeah. Okay. We have some super chats and humper chats to get started, and then we will get right into the show because there was a lot to talk about.
Yes, there is.
Tom O'Valley says, TMDK, this means delightful Kate.
TMD Kate is very, very happy getting to see a lot of her faves on the past two episodes and a lot of her faves just in that eight man that was kind of better than it had any right to be, in my opinion.
Yeah. JW Pringle says, with SRS away, the SGS will play, partners. He actually spelled it PH A-R-T-N-A-S, which spells fartners, which he knows his audience. And so J.W. Pringle, sorry, thank you for that one. C. Delgado says, Kate's bangs better than SRS Dynamite humped.
Really strong episode today, and thank you. Bang superiority is something that I'm very proud of in general.
Yeah. And to McFowl says, as if tonight's episode of Dynamite wasn't already S tier, we get main channel SGS. In IMO, the Owen has the best single elimination brackets ever in AEW, especially the women. Banger after banger after banger.
Strong brackets. Kind of. Jeff Jarrett is puzzling. Well,
we'll talk about what I think it's. I mean, I know why he's there because of the heart connection, but also what it means for the wild card, which is a whole thing to get into with that. Meet Norma says, Humper chatting from the arena. I thought the crowd was hot to start to finish. All we could hear during the contract signing was chin, tit, shoe.
That's all you need to hear in that situation. But it read on television very loud the entire night. So much momentum. It helps when you have such an all-star roster, too, because the pops for everybody are insane. So it was really, really good crowd tonight.
Meet Norma says that TK is cutting a promo on Time Cop. Have a great show, boys. And girl, I think he didn't realize that you weren't going to be Sean.
That's okay.
Sawyer says, happy Juneteenth. Happy Juneteenth for sure. Incredible Dynamite. Forbidden Door season is always fun chaos, but this feels special. It certainly feels extra chaotic.
It feels like there's just more of a build, and having an additional promotion in the mix is super, super fun. Just echoing happy Juneteenth. It always feels like weird as a white person to say that, because it's like, hooray, the emancipation from what my people did to black people. But with the weight and acknowledgement of that in mind, happy Juneteenth. I'm sure Rocky Romero working everywhere is something that is very helpful in this, but it does feel like they're trying to get back to some long-term booking with it. Yeah. So when you were saying there's extra chaos involved, it feels like they're trying to give hints to the follow-up programs that are going to be at All In, because they have to sell that too. So there's a lot happening, but I think they're getting in a better rhythm with doing those things.
That's right. Started off hot with commercial-free Roosh versus MJF. They did a lot of good work building up this thing into which felt like a kind of a random. Here's a guy returning from injury you all love. Here's a guy who's been on a hot streak. Let's have them collide. You know that the fan favorite's going to win. Okay. Let's have them smash into each other. And so that's just a synonym for collide. I don't know why I gave in to your ridiculousness. We all know that the fan favorite's going to win these types of matches. That always happens. But Roosh makes everything look extra vicious, and MJF sells really well. This was a lot of, this felt like a pay-per-view match, probably because it had no commercials, but also because of the quality. The style of it, like, it felt very personal, even though there's really no reason for it to be personal at this point. But like, they just don't like each other, and great, they're smashing each other. This is fun. This was really, really good. Roosh got to do a lot of fun stuff playing around with the crowd as well. I have one small quibble. Paul Turner, you told Roosh he wasn't allowed to use the chair, so he slid it into the ring. And then he goes around the thing. While you go in to get the chair, he goes around and he pulls out some camera cables. And he uses them to strangle MJF for a full 5 minutes. How long does it take you to remove a chair from the ring, Paul Turner? Like, I need to see the weird Keystone Cops routine that was off camera, where he slips and falls a bunch of times just getting into the ring, and then he can't quite pick up the chair. Like, you know that, where, like, you have to, like, slide your fingers underneath
the slat,
and you get, like, you can't quite grip it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe his hands are all sweaty or something. But just get the chair out of there and get back to doing your job, Paul Turner.
A fair criticism. He might have been on. What we didn't see was Roosh laid out a series of banana peels leading over to the chair. It was like a whole thing. But overall, I thought this match was super, super fun. I loved It's really funny because we all got fatigued on babyface MJF. I think most of us did. He's really good at being a face. Like in ring, there's a couple of things that happen, right? Everybody gets amnesia and forgets MJF is excellent in the ring. And then he wrestles and everybody remembers. It's like become a meme of itself at this point.
Yep.
With Roosh, it was so different than anything we saw from him in his proper babyface run because I think MJF is really, really great at selling in particular. And Roosh is really great at in-ring murdering. So that combo was very fun for me to watch. And because Roosh is so violent, I thought he did such a good job of making the match structure of this was not like Roosh gets some, MJF gets some offense in, Roosh gets some offense in, comeback, whatever. Like there were several comebacks from MJF in this and none of them felt like terribly unrealistic. Roosh getting so much offense in early was really, really nice about this. And I thought their chemistry was awesome.
Yeah.
And kudos to MJF for coming off of injury and getting into the ring with a homicidal maniac because Roosh is just nuts. But very early in this, Alex, we got the horns.
We did get the horns. And that was nice to find the horns in a match in which MJF and Roosh did not exactly win. Tony P says, just popping in here at Rampage with fam, was the DMV crowd hype on TV just asking because we were loud as hell in this bitch? Pops of the night were MJF and the heathens for Mina. The heathens for Mina were definitely heathening.
Everywhere they were heathening. The really strong crowd tonight. Strong crowd.
MJF is now using the Heat Seeker to set up a Brainbuster, which I kind of like because honestly, the Brainbuster should finish guys. It's a sheer drop Brainbuster onto the top of a dude's head, especially right after you did a weird little power driver with your legs wrapped with your crotch wrapped around the back of his neck. Like I've never thought the Heat Seeker looked like a finisher. It always felt like it was something MJF was doing to kind of troll his opponent. Like, yes. I can beat you with no hands. You know what I mean? And so if MJF's going to be tweener leaning babyface, him doing that to set up the Brainbuster, I kind of like, but it's a very good Brainbuster.
That's the other thing is it looks really good when he does it. Famously, my sister does not watch wrestling, but I speak to her as if she does. And I mentioned the Brainbuster to her and that it should be a finisher. And she was like, well, just on the name alone, I feel like if you're busting someone's brains, that should probably finish someone. And that's kind of an arguable logic from her. She's pretty brilliant with this stuff. So
there's a lot of move names that feel like they should do more damage than they typically do. Like neck breakers never really break a person's neck. Why would you name it that if they're not jaw breakers? Man, if you broke somebody's jaw, that would be kind of it.
Yeah.
And after the candy, in which case that would be weird.
No, that would be like a nice sponsorship spot. But yeah. I also liked him using that. And I also just liked him coming back with something a little different from injury too. It's a nice, like we're opening this new chapter and I have these new things to do. But I loved this to get us started. I thought this was aces. And we get the Hechicero vignette after this, the challenge there.
Yes. The vignette for, MJF wins. Pins Roosh, and then he's standing there, kind of like still selling all the damage that Roosh did to him. And then up on the thing was Cage of Agony, Brian Cage and the Agony Boys, and Hechicero. And they're like, all right, well, here's your opponent for Forbidden Door. Hechicero was like, wow, that's going to be a great match. Also, what? Like it just felt like it dropped out of the clear blue sky, and I was like, I'm not going to complain about the match. MJF's probably beating whoever he faces at a Forbidden Door no matter what, so I'm not going to complain about the match because it's going to be great because Hechicero is amazing, and like MJF is going to get to do all of this really fun fake babyface stuff where he's trying to pump up the crowd to do a chop battle. He's pumping up the crowd over and over again, and then just does poke in the eyes. Like he's really good at that kind of stuff. That'll be a lot of fun with Hechicero. So I'm not really upset about it, but it just felt like it came out of nowhere, and it was just a weird thing to do via Titantron or Tonytron.
Yeah, at this point of the night, it was just Titantron. And it is kind of out of nowhere. I think it's a little bit tricky because now there's a third promotion in the fold. and you want top stars facing top stars, MJF is going to have to beat him. And it needs to be someone that we're familiar with probably already. We've seen Etchicero on AEW TV a number of times. But I feel like the build has gotten better every year, and now we have a third promotion in the mix, so it's still a little tricky. It did feel like with Tanahashi, him running around calling New Japan an indie fed and all that stuff, like there was a little bit more meat on the bone. But from a match perspective, I'm very excited because Max is great in the ring, and I think him being able to remind people of that is going to be something that's excellent, as he did tonight, as he will do at Forbidden Door. And also, Etchicero has such an interesting style because he's so technical, like I like, but he's also a hard-hitting son of a bitch. So I think it's going to be fun to watch him and Max tangle a little bit. That should be fun.
Yes, indeed. So there's a lot more that comes out of this Etchicero thing much later in the show. So we also see later, they show us footage of Roosh being upset that he lost, and Don Callis coming in, putting a hand on his shoulder and saying something in broken Spanish that I could not make out. But he's like, he says oportunidad, which I got that one. So I think he said mi casa is su casa in there or something. I'm not really sure exactly, but he did say oportunidad, which I understood. So I think Roosh
Luis might be able to help us out on this.
So listen, nobody likes Don Callis. I get it. But we are absolutely heading for a breakup and a splintering of the Don Callis family in the coming months. I mean, for some, it can't happen soon enough. It's going to happen. So if Roosh were to join and be like the last guy that joins before the whole thing falls apart, and presumably when Mark Davis comes back, we're getting him and Kyle Fletcher back together and Aussie Open is going to be an amazing addition to the tag division. They'll win multiple titles. So that's going to split off. Probably Will Ospreay loosely aligns with them. And then I'm not sure exactly with Trent, but can we find out that Roosh and Takeshita become best friends? Cause they just love hurting people so much. And if we got a Roosh and Takeshita tag team that became the tag champs, even for like 4 months, like, it would make all of this Don Callis bullcrap worth it. Just give me Roosh. I thought of that. I was like, if Roosh joins the faction with Takeshita, then we have Roosh and Takeshita as a tag team. And that would just be really, really good.
It's just very weird because he and his friends were going around kidnapping people and they literally never paid that off.
Yeah.
It's very weird that you would go as far as to kidnap people.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Multiple weeks and never really pay that off. You could sell me on that tag team, of course. I would much prefer Takeshita hold singles gold and Roosh hold multi-man gold, just because I think Roosh has the power to carry people on his back. And I think you could do some very fun stuff with him and a faction against, especially right now, Bullet Club Gold. Are you kidding? But I would never be mad at that. And holding tag gold is better than no gold. The problem is, to me, this tag division is still pretty much in the mud. That tag tournament did nothing to reset anything. There's nobody that's feeling important. If they're going to do that, you have to feel and make them feel important. Right, like the tag division needs to feel important again.
Right. No, agreed. Yeah.
So that's a great way to make that happen. But like the point being, like you have to then support it as AEW.
But now I've come up with a name for the tag team.
Oh no.
And so it's because it's Takeshita, right? And Roosh. So it's called, you mess with the bun, you get the horns. We don't just eat the bun. We are the bun.
There it is. Good? Good? All of the things that I said before don't matter because you just thought of that name.
Awesome. Fantastic. Listen, I want Takeshita to be a singles champion, but if he can't be, then make him a tag champion with Roosh as the second option.
You know, and he's going away to do the G1 too. Yeah. So him coming back to planned creative that makes him feel important, that maybe something in the G1 advances him as a character, I think is something that could be really good.
Right. Okay. He says Caso por Caso. So not mi casa es su casa. I was close though.
House
for Caso por Caso. Mereces una oportunidad. See, I got the last part right.
You nailed.
Apparently, this means case by case, you deserve an opportunity.
Oh, okay. There you go.
All right, sounds good. We did. I thought this was going to be the main event segment. We got Swerve versus Ospreay in the face to face because it's the main title program. I thought they might just put this on last, but I'm glad they did it here and they did what we actually got last. But this was great. Like this went from a friendly rivalry to I'm going to murder you if you mention my child again. And it did it in 5 minutes. And that's when you know it's good wrestling. When it goes from like, I respect you, but I am going to beat you for your title. And then in 5 minutes, it goes to, if you mention my son again, I will end you where you stand. And you believe both parts of it. It's great.
I loved this. I will say we need, I say this not knowing or caring, quite frankly, about any sort of ratings math. Maybe there's a reason Swerve doesn't open and close shows as much as previous champions. It's Juneteenth. He should probably be the main event or an opening guy. He's the world champ. He should be in the most important parts of the show. It drives me nuts that that's not the case on a regular basis. He opened the show last week. That was the first time since the collision after he won. Come on, man. We got to get him in these more important spots. There might be intentionality behind why they don't do that, but he's the world champ. It should feel that way. So that confused me. It was about the placement. The segment itself. Ospreay with, well, you had a hit row, I had a hit list, and I didn't miss a single one. Oh, delicious. And I loved everything we got here. But when Ospreay went to leave and Swerve said, what if I want to make it personal?
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to make this personal, bruv. And then Nana stepping in being like, the voice of reason. Prince Nana's the voice of reason. Hey, guys, save it for the match. And then Will Ospreay's about to leave, but they play his music. Because he's like, whose house? My house, bruv! And he wants to leave. And like Swerve's like, no. You're going to pay my music. I thought he was going to do that. But like, what if I do want to make it personal? Like,
and then that, mentioned that was his wife and kid's name. Like,
but by name, that's great. Listen, I love that Swerve acknowledges I have nobody.
Yes.
Driven everybody. He doesn't quite acknowledge this part of it. I've driven everybody who possibly could care for me away from me. I wish you would have said, except for this man, and I pay him. You know what I mean? Because Sana's there I have no friends. And I wanted Nana to be like, hey, I thought we were friends. I wanted Nana to be like, eh. But like Keith Lee, I mean, obviously that's a thing we would love to do at some point. But like at the time, like they could have been close, but I drove him away because I didn't trust him. I neglected my three hosses who backed me up so much that all it took was a phone call from Christian Cage and they turned on me lickety split. So him recognizing that and saying basically my You can't use anybody to get to me, but I can damn sure use people to get to you.
And I love that you know? A consistent trait. Like, he's not breaking into people's houses anymore, but he's still using other people's loved ones to rile people up. Like, heel swerve and face swerve is just a wiser version of heel swerve with a little bit purer motivations. Like, yeah. And I love that he doesn't flip a switch on who he was to become who he is. There's just different complexities in it now. And that's really cool. And earlier in this promo, Will Ospreay said, "Don't mention my kid." And then Swerve said, "I'm going to mention your kid." Like, I love yeah. that he just said, "I'm going to make this personal." Like, really, really
first,
good.
Swerve's point is that if you want to be this champ, not that champ, this champ, then you've got to sacrifice everything in your life. Are you prepared to sacrifice your wife? Prepared to sacrifice your boy? And then Will's like, "Don't even bring that up. You don't make it personal." And I love that there was a moment of, "You overstepped your bounds, and I respectfully am letting you know that you have." And then Swerve is like, "Well, that's all I needed to know. Now I know what's going to set you off. And if I can get under your skin, then maybe I can find a weakness, and then I can beat you." It's great.
I would also say that there was this little moment that felt like when they did Whose House and Will Ospreay said my house. Mm-hmm. That was almost Will making it personal.
Yeah, well, like, yeah.
Like, he stoked the flame a little bit too. So sure. I thought this was great. I thought this exchange was wonderful. It made me feel like, all right, like, we're underway with this title match. I want to see these guys beat the crap out of each other now.
Yeah, if this was your go home segment, this particular thing was your go up segment next week on Dynamite right before Forbidden Door. That makes a lot of sense to me to do it that, because right now, next week, they're teaming together. They've already announced that they're tagging together against the Gates of Agony next week.
But can they coexist, Alex?
Why are we doing a can they coexist? We know they can't. You just proved it. I don't want to see them try to coexist after they made it so personal that each one of them on consecutive weeks, one of them has threatened to put the other one in a grave, and next week is like, can they coexist though? No, I don't
especially when there's no stake. They hold all the stakes. They hold two of three titles, and that's it. So it's not like there's anything that they're gaining from coexisting. And Alex, to be honest, if I had to put money on whether they could coexist, I would guess that they couldn't, but I do all my betting in one place. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to know where it is?
Is it Caesar's Palace?
No.
Oh.
Do you want to take another guess? I'll just tell you.
For years, you've seen BetOnline AG's odds on Fightful, whether it be wrestling, MMA, or boxing. That's who we trust. 25 plus years, they've been trusted online by millions. They've got a safe and secure environment. They've got payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the industry's best bonuses. Whether you want to play games, whether you want to bet on basketball, MMA, boxing, wrestling, baseball, hockey, anything, check them out. You may say, wait, you can bet on wrestling? Yes, you can bet on wrestling. We've been giving you betting odds on wrestling for so long and giving you some good underdog picks as well. I think we hit a 9 in our first few months just working with BetOnline AG. So check it out for yourself. Of course, we want you to only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. Check out our friends over at BetOnline AG.
Backstage, Trent is fuming. He's the one. He seems to be the one who's like trying to like put himself in a leadership role in the Don Callis family. He's the only one who cares that Will Ospreay said, "I don't need Don Callis, bruv. I don't need. Does anybody here really think I need Don Callis, bruv?" And everyone's like, we're right here. Like, literally all of them, we're right here. And Trent doesn't like this. So it'll be good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Will Ospreay versus Trent was something I didn't know I needed, but I do. There's nobody in the world, I think, that thinks Will Ospreay needs anybody's help at all, bruv. Right. Like, that guy is on another level. He backs it up.
So we got another amazing Mark Briscoe promo, made only better by Kyle O'Reilly. Drinking all of the Sussex County chicken Kool-Aid. Like, just He's super into the guy. He literally says after Mark Briscoe's promo, "I will follow that man anywhere." And listen, I don't know. I honestly don't know what they're going to do with Mark Briscoe's title reign, but like Kyle, I really don't want Kyle to like just join back up with Roddy. I don't want Kyle to like, "Oh, well, I guess if you can't beat him, join him." So like, yeah, Kyle O'Reilly and Mark Briscoe tag run. Like, two of the greatest tag wrestlers ever. Like, I wouldn't, like, that would be kind of cool. You know, like, I don't know, just an idea. They seem to have really good chemistry. And I just love the idea of every week Mark Briscoe comes out and does something crazy. And Kyle O'Reilly is like, "Man, that was amazing." Like, I think that'd be fun.
This Kyle O'Reilly return was everything I ever wanted on every single level. He looks good in the ring. He's so much fun backstage. He has such an incredible ability to be extremely authentic and comedic in the same smush. Like, he'll tell you how it is and also be very funny doing it.
Right.
But yes, him just blindly following Mark Briscoe, I think, is super fun. Mark Briscoe, very happy he's had this moment with the ROH title. He needs to drop it. He's never on the show. He hasn't been back on the show. Drop the title to somebody who's on the show and let them defend it in ROH. Or be on the show. You have to do one of the two.
Yeah.
So I'm in on whatever alliance. I don't want them to become a full pairing. I think Mark pairing with anybody less than his brother would feel apologetic in some sense. But I'm with you in that
friends.
I don't.
He can have friends.
He can, of course, he can have friends. But like, I like him as a solo wrestler. If he wants to do some fun stuff like this, I also loved Orange Cassidy being like Renee to Mark. So I loved this little segment that we got here. But
yeah,
we'll keep it going. KOR is just invaluable, but I'm with you in that I don't immediately want a Red Dragon reunion again because the tag division doesn't feel like it has enough teeth
now. Well, it wouldn't be Red Dragon if it was Bobby Fish, and I don't feel like we need Bobby Fish. He's 98 years old. Let the man die in peace.
It's true.
So,
pension.
But I did like Jack Perry walking in right in front of the camera and Mark Briscoe taking the longest pause ever. Waiting, he waited for Jack Perry to get outside the building, get in his car, and drive away. And it was like, "Get your ass out of here, Jack Perry." Now, here's my pitch: this 8-man tag featuring the likes of Zack Sabre Jr. and Roddy Strong and Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher, along with Dante Martin, Orange Cassidy, Kyle O'Reilly, Mark Briscoe. WWE stopped doing traditional Survivor Series elimination tag matches. They've just stopped doing them. They don't do them anymore. Start doing them, AEW. Every time you guys pull out one of these 8-man all-star tag teams, tag matches, they're amazing. This one tonight was amazing. Imagine if it was elimination style and there was something, I don't know what, on the line. Like, at All Out every year, you do a 8-man tag and then the team that wins gets something going into the fall. I don't know. But like, they do these so well every time. The other company had a thing where every year you would do elimination style tag matches and they were really great for a long, long time. They've stopped doing them. This is a wide open opportunity for you to start doing. Don't call them Survivor Series matches, but start doing them.
Just call them elimination matches. Call them 8-man elimination matches. That's it.
This is dynamite. Just start doing them. They're really good stuff, man.
This was, I had said to you in our messages, and the more I thought about it, the truer it felt. Well, for starters, everybody in this match was like, here's Kate's favorites, and they're all going to wrestle now. Like, I feel that way about a lot of Dynamite episodes because the roster is so stacked, but this was an embarrassment of riches of specifically people that I love. I really think that the difference between a good 8-man tag and a great 8-man tag has a very, very, very big gap in it. And that everybody had clear motivations in this. Everybody knew what they were doing. Everybody was telling stories. Whereas sometimes I feel like it's just great move execution, this one was awesome from the beginning where Where everybody just immediately starts going at it, and Zach and Orange Cassidy are just taking their damn time, yep, as Orange Cassidy and technical wrestlers are bound to,
yes,
do.
Yes.
ZSJ Sicko in the house, the octopus holding the ropes, nastiest looking thing, yeah, ever. Right. The reversals into the pinning predicament between OC and ZSJ and that whole exchange I thought was fantastic. I felt like Dante really got to show out in this, and that was refreshing. This was an absolute blast to watch. Absolute blast to watch, and it really feels like I didn't really have any excuse to be this great.
Yeah, yeah. It was fantastic. Luis pointing out the high-low from Cassidy and Kyle O'Reilly was amazing. It really was.
Excellent. Excellent.
Such good stuff. I love Kyle O'Reilly like taking a bullet in the form of a knee from Roddy Strong to allow Orange Cassidy, who was a legal man, to like not get hit and then bounce back with an orange punch for the victory. Thought that was great.
We saw Fletcher take a bullet for Takeshita in this too. It was nice. It was nice to see like friendships and alliances be alive, mm-hmm, like that.
Takeshita going to the G1, presumably winning it, because why wouldn't he? So that's good. He gets to take some time out of this when he doesn't need to do a lot of stuff here, but I thought this was really great. And every time I see this, the 8-man tag things, I really wish there was something that we like. Could it be two tag teams that are on each side, and then the winning team, they didn't even do elimination style, but the winning foursome, so two tag teams, the following week enter into a triple threat with the current tag champions. So they're on the same side for the 8-man tag, but then they're going to be fighting each other in the triple threat. Like, there could be some really cool stuff. You can come up with a lot of fun stipulations here. I just feel like it's a missed opportunity for you guys not to make this like one of the signature things of a pay-per-view every year.
I think that's fair. And it's such a, there's so many alliances that you could create a stipulation out of it pretty easily. Like, yeah, so many alliances, and there's 9 million belts. You could figure, yeah, out something.
Yes, that's true. There was a Mercedes Moné vignette where she thanks Stephanie for letting Zeuxis come and fight her so that she could get a taste of that luchadora style. This will be fun. This is going to be a really great match. So
it is. Their first one was excellent at New Japan Strong. Everything feels so much better now that Mercedes is fully active in the ring. Like, and it was so, look, I'm mm-hmm, all for the CEO, sure, dance. Sure, sure, I sure, was all for the build. I thought it was really well done with Willow, but like her actually now backing it up on a regular basis has been great. Mm-hmm. Just having the time of her life at the Celtics game, seeing her out there as a PR weapon for them too, has been really refreshing. But her and Steph Vecchier had amazing chemistry the first time around. Very much looking forward to the rematch.
So Mercedes has said she's keeping a close eye on Vecchier's match against La Catalina. So she's teasing appearing at Arena Mexico. Like, yeah, Mercedes would want to do stuff like that. So that makes a lot of sense.
Well, her mission statement when she came in was a world takeover, right? So yeah, this is in line with that. She's going to be working Japan. She's going to be working Mexico. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm reading Mexico this Friday. Interesting. So I'm going to say something that doesn't make a lot of sense. That I'm going to say it.
Go on.
I'm honestly kind of fine with the Acclaimed winning this match.
It kind of has to for wrestling math.
Like, you can't do title eliminators over and over again when nobody ever wins them. It doesn't mean that they win the title. It means they win an opportunity at the title. And the way that they did this one,
pretty good,
kind of sick, was a way to like they didn't actually win it. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't actually win it. Like, the Young Bucks cost each other. And for what I maybe the biggest problem I have with the Acclaimed are the caster wraps, and they seem to be figuring out a way to get around him doing them.
Alex,
so you know what I mean?
Unbelievably legendary stuff today from Okada.
Okada like cutting off to caster's mic for the entrance. They cut back to him. It's like, oop, I pushed the wrong button, bitches. Like,
bitch.
bitch. Yeah, if they're just basically making it a story where he doesn't get to do his raps anymore, well, then the thing that I hate the most about the Acclaimed is now gone. It sure doesn't offend me as much. And if the story is Anthony Bowens doing all of the ring work, selling his ass off, and then somehow as a hero getting to make the hot tag after the Bucks hit each other with their title belts, allowing them to get the victory, fine. I do not think the Acclaimed are beating the Young Bucks for the title. You know what I mean? Like, when they have that rematch for the title, the Young Bucks will win. So, you know?
This Elite angle, I'll just say it. I'm sports entertained. The Young Bucks coming out in their colorful outfits to match their Reba. I was in stitches. This was heavily a Bowens featured match, which is good. The Acclaimed felt so unimportant at Trios Champions that even though they were just champions, they need to be rebuilt if you're going to keep them together. I thought they were heading for a split. I think they still might be, but not anytime soon, because it certainly feels like they're going to be in what I'm presuming is some sort of blood and guts match coming up. But like, this was the most tolerable that they've been. I can't get over Okada, man. Like, this guy, I can't emphasize enough. Like, the entire promotion of New Japan Pro Wrestling leaned on this man as a badass babyface, and he is now a comedic heel speaking a different language and is unbelievable every time we get to see him. I liked the way this unfolded. I think they needed this win. And on the ROH show, I'm always complaining that nobody wins proving ground matches. Nobody ever proves their ground. At some point, someone's got to win a freaking eliminator match. And I was glad that somebody did. And it can kind of move things along a little bit more here.
Yeah. Lieutenant Crowell photo, they tried to make the Acclaimed look special. They definitely make Anthony Bowens look special.
Yeah, like, and he doesn't need a ton of help doing that. He's great.
No. Chi-Town Spurs says, if you showed me the Acclaimed result on paper, I would have hated it. But the match was laid out so well, with Bowens getting a huge focus and overcoming the odds. The best Acclaimed match in years. I would also agree with that.
That's why you watch the games, man. That's why we watch the matches.
Rex Fortune says, I'm pretty sure Max Caster is going to join the Elite. I mean, maybe. I'm pretty sure that Bowens will eventually take offense to, I was in there getting my ass handed to me for 12 straight minutes. Where were you? You know what I mean? I'm the one who's injured with a bad hamstring. What were you doing? You know, there's,
there you could also be some fun stuff. Simply cannot grow a mustache like that and not turn heel. It's just, it's the way of the world. We cannot.
Yeah, it's true. So I'm going to read some of these puns, and then because people don't even know we're doing puns. We're doing exercise puns.
Exercise puns, baby.
You know, because running from the grind, because Sean. Jess Ricardo says, that doesn't work out for me, brother.
Excellent.
Insert clever Tegan Knox pun says, Burpegan Knox. This is a fantastic, Jay Pringle. All right, everybody, I challenge you. Can you beat this one? Because I don't think you can. Maxwell Jacob Freeweights. That's really good stuff.
That's excellent.
Alpha Bill says, for my Kate, Techno Triathlon Team 2000.
Thank you.
Kim
Techno Gray Team says, 2000 stand forever.
This is really good from Kim Gray too. Peloton El Cerro Miedo.
The idea of Penta on that bike, like in their bougie commercials where they're always like looking at a skyline at 5 a.m. or whatever.
Yes.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Kim Gray, Wayne Buck says, testosterone breaker cur. C. Delgado says, tricep team 2000.
Very nice. Thank you so much.
Starter jacket junior. And Lieutenant Colonel Photo says, jumping Jack Perry's and Tony Heinies.
Very nice.
Chi-Town Spurs says, instead of Caster joining the Elite, he'll join the Learning Tree to give Alex. That would be awesome. Now I could turn off that segment for two reasons. There's extra reason to mute those segments. That's great.
That's actually not the worst combination from a like them trying to make that work perspective. I actually don't hate that.
Right. peripheral protagonist that only wanted to say that them not doing Christian versus Dan the dad for Father's Day weekend was a missed opportunity.
Very fair.
It's true. It's
very
true.
Fair.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
So, Hook, Shibata, and Samoa Joe are amazing. This particular banter on the way to a hit was all about if the rent is too damn high in New York, then you got to be lying to people about how you live above the worst chopped cheese in the city, because then people won't want to move there and the rents will go down. And Hook's like, yeah, I never thought about that. And like, okay, now. I want to get rid of these guys for good. So be a little extra when we go in there. All right. Extra. Then they kick in the door. There's nobody there. But before they realize there's nobody there, you hear Hook go, "Doom time!" And Samoa Joe goes like, "Doom time? We're going to work on that." But they find a letter from Mark Sterling saying, "You guys are going to have a six-man tag." And that'll be fun. And Shibata says, "I'm going to open a can of whoop-ass on the bitches," or something like that. Through his little translator. It's fun.
I guess they found Josh Woods is what I'm to gain from this if it's going to be a six-man
tag.
It's
not going to be Mark Sterling.
No, certainly not. I hope he's been healthy because he, if you haven't seen Josh Woods, the technical beast, he's a sight to behold. He's a fantastic pro wrestler. This reincarnation of the premier athletes going from being sillier to dead serious has been really, really good. Samoa Joe is just that guy, man. Like him, the learning tree starts with you tell them you lived above the worst chopped cheese, but like just the best. I like that Hook got something really valuable moving on from the Jericho angle. Like this is really, really good. The Shibata translator, what it had said today was, I forget what the wording was, but it had me in stitches about them. So this was good. It was also pretty cleverly shot. I felt like this was good stuff. I liked what we got out of this. You can tell me on Samoa Joe and Hook for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So we got now Toni Storm, Mina Shirakawa's contract signing, presided over by Mariah May.
We did.
Who hosted,
as she said.
Yes, she hosted it. She says, "I know you guys are going to have a hard fought match, but please, I just want you to know, I love you both." And Mina is more contentious here. She says she's the one who's making Mariah choose. So that's interesting. Toni Storm, like, you know, she just says one of her crazy things, and it's escaping me now the exact wording of what she says. Oh, this buffet is wide open, sister. So take as many plates as you like, or whatever. I don't know what she's. It was that
buffet grab thing. A bowl. I think she said
grab a bowl and dig in or whatever.
Chin tits shoe.
She does. I have one word for you. One word of advice for you. Chin tits shoe. But then she didn't actually, you know, do. I thought she was going to sign with like a shoe pen. Like if she had like pulled out a shoe and in the heel of the shoe was a ballpoint pen and she signed with the shoe and then threw it at Mina, it would have been the best thing ever.
That would have been excellent.
So it's been signed. Mina says you have to choose. And then Saraya comes out with Harley Cameron and Anna Jay. Who would sneak attacks them. So it's Toni Storm comes in to save Mariah May, is going to be put through a table, but she ends up putting her own butt through a table when Saraya moves out of the way. And then you see Mina is consoling Mariah up on the stage, and it's announced for next week. We're going to get Mina and Mariah and Toni versus Saraya, Harley, and Anna Jay. Now, this is precisely the kind of can they coexist tag team that I am okay with, because it is not necessarily about Toni and Mina. It's about Mariah. Mariah, I feel like it's fairly obvious, at least this should be the case. Mariah is your next women's champion. Mariah is winning the Owen. Mariah is facing Toni Storm at Wembley. So starting this whole thing off by Toni thinking, I have done everything for you, and you still chose to help Mina rather than help me in their six-woman tag match before Forbidden Door. And when the actual match happens, there's all of that added to it. Saraya and Harley Cameron and Anna Jay are kind of like a red herring in this whole thing. Saraya doesn't like all of this, for sure. She's facing Mariah May in the first round of the Owen tournament. But this is the kind of can they coexist thing to build the match that I'm okay with, because the whole match is kind of about that. The one that I'm not okay with is like Swerve and Will Ospreay teaming up right after they said they were going to murder each other, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to threaten your wife and kids, and then we're going to tag next week. It's a weird thing. That this does feel like a much better build. 8 women on TV tonight. I would love 2 matches, good stuff. Like, all of it makes sense. All of it is clean and logical. All of it is fully fleshed out characters that have motivations. Mm-hmm. I loved, in addition to everything that you recapped, the staging of the ending of it being Mariah May nuzzled up into Mina's bosom on the ramp while Toni Storm is laid out and nobody's going in to help her. Like, all of these things are so much what people who were advocating for this women's division really wanted. Yeah. And this character heavy angle being the catalyst for it is such a really special thing.
Sure.
Mariah May, man, every note she's hit, and I think she's had a ton of reps in ring. She's looked great. Her being the next champion on an angle that has run from her debut to where she is now, I think that's an incredible testament to how well this whole arc has been, how talented she is in this. And I like that Toni Storm's insanity, rightfully so, has been the focal point of all of this. And just as we were starting to feel like, I don't know what's next, like, we got this kind of love triangle situation, and now the pivot to the focus is on Mariah May, right? So this is in service of the story rather than any one wrestler, which is always paramount to me. Yeah. Absolutely loved what we got. And Alex.
Yeah.
We're going to get to see this all unfold on pay-per-view.
We are.
But there's so many pay-per-views these days, Alex.
There are. There are just too many.
Oh, if only I lived somewhere where it was a little cheaper.
But there's no way you could like fool the internet into thinking that you lived in, I don't know, say Latvia or something. Alex. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you and nobody else about it.
Okay.
But there is actually a way that you can do that.
Are high pay-per-view prices getting to you? Maybe MLB blackouts, maybe the insane cost of Sunday ticket, whatever it might be. NordVPN.com/Fightful is here to help. You get NordVPN.com/Fightful. You change your virtual location with one click. Maybe you want to be in the West Coast when you can't watch a game on the East Coast. They got you covered. Maybe the pay-per-view prices are just too high, or there's too many of them. Switch your virtual location overseas and get the prices that they're paying there. NordVPN.com/Fightful does it all for you. And that's in addition to their password manager, their protection on public Wi-Fi, the ability to use it on all your devices, including your router, your TV. It doesn't matter. They've got you on all those. And a 30-day money-back guarantee. Maybe you're just feeling wild and you want to try it. Well, you know what? In 30 days, if you don't like it, spoiler, you will. You can get your money back. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
My God, I told everyone about it because I'm not a gatekeeper. But NordVPN code Fightful, that is one of our highest value savings that you get with code Fightful on anything. It's such a steep discount. It's a really wonderful investment. It protects all of your devices. really, really recommend checking out NordVPN and using the code Fightful. And as a reminder, with all the money you're saving on VPNs and pay-per-views, because we just told you how, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. There's so much happening in wrestling. You get so much stuff for the low, low cost of $5. All of the Wyatt 6 updates and additional context that you could possibly want. You always get backstage notes and producers. If you like this tandem duo.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? You're liking the puns that we're doing. We're being silly out here. You can catch us every Tuesday, but you can also catch us behind the paywall on Mondays doing a Raw Sour Grapes review and additional pay-per-view post shows as an alternative to what's on the main. So head over to FightfulSelect.com and subscribe. If you've been on the fence, there's plenty more to come and so much value. Head on over and subscribe. That's how we get paid. We appreciate it.
If Tony signs with the shoe pinch, he needs to credit Don Adams from Get Smart. And I agree.
That's fair.
Pioneer in that phase, in that, so that's for sure. We also got Kylie who says, the wrestling was fun. I love Ospreay. Why Saraya gotta ruin my gay old time? Holy shit, that main event was great. So thank you, Kylie, for your comments there. We got now our the bracketology.
We did. Bracket method.
For both women and the men. Well, because we have so much to talk about with this wild card, I'm going to talk about the women first. Holy crap. Like, what a murderer's row.
What a fruits of labor for this women's division that we've gotten. Like, this is such a strong bracket with a million stories in it, and it warms my heart to see.
Even if you're not a Saraya fan, and I totally get it. She's a former women's champion. Regardless of whether or not you think she should have been booked to win that, she's a former women's champion. Nyla Rose, former women's champion.
Won at Wembley. Like she should, she should be there.
Yeah. For sure. And then on the top of the bracket on either side, you have Willow versus Serena Deeb. Holy crap.
Give me that, please.
The woman who was just the TBS champion versus the woman who was just the top contender for the women's championship and had a great match for it. And then on the other side, Deonna Purrazzo, who's on a crazy win streak. She's lost like twice since she's been here. Once to the women's champion, once to Thunder Rosa on some kind of weird technicality. And then she beat the hell out of Thunder Rosa to end that feud. And she gets to face Hikaru Shida in the first round. This is my thing. Like humbly, if you had to do this thing in Calgary, Alberta, Canada on the 8th or 10th of July or whatever it is, you waited too long to start. This should have been a 16-person tournament at minimum. This is basically what the final eight should have shaken out to be, but there's a whole bunch of other women you could have put in there. The fact that we're getting Deonna Purrazzo versus Hikaru Shida in the first round is crazy to me. But the first round is also the quarterfinals. You know what I mean? There could have been like weeks of tournament leading up to this. Deonna Purrazzo versus Hikaru Shida is amazing. And I mean, Mariah May is winning versus Saraya.
Yes.
I feel like Mariah May is at least getting to the final, even if you think she's going to lose there. I don't think she's going to lose there. So, like, Hikaru Shida and Deonna Purrazzo might be the match of the tournament, and whoever wins is going to lose to Mariah May. You know what I mean? So, like, that's going to be a really, really, really cool... I can't say enough about how the women's bracket was laid out. We saw one match tonight, which we're about to talk about, that I thought was really, really great and set up somebody coming out of that side of the bracket that's going to be really tough to deal with. Some really cool stuff here. But I really like this this bracket here for the women.
Warms my heart. Warms my heart that you and I are now pleading for more because but because there's so much more available is something that's really special. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on, so I get it, because you got the C2 on the back of this, you've got Forbidden Door, you've got All In. So I get it, but like, look at what we're saying. Like, Deonna versus Shida. I know a lot of people get frustrated that Shida's not on as much. I think she's been splitting time between here and Japan, but like, I think it's kind of cool that she comes in for Special Attractions of like, I am here to do important things only. It's like kind of cool to have that assassin in the women's division a little bit. Her and Deanna, what a dream matchup there. This does feel like Mariah's for the taking. She has earned it in every single respect, character-wise, in-ring-wise. I don't remember ever seeing someone that almost has, I don't say this in a negative way, like the diva aesthetic with the Roshi style, because that combination is rare and special. And the acting chops. It feels like hers to win. Her and Saraya both getting to Wembley, like the fight for that is something that is logical. Willow going back to the finals and Chris maybe costing her also feels like a fun possibility because Willow won it last year. Yeah. Or if Chris just beats Willow and they have to do it alongside this, really fun possibilities.
Yeah, to me, I think your final is Statlander versus Mariah May. I don't think there's even a possibility it's anything else.
To which I say, hell yeah!
Yeah, this is going to be great. we'll talk about the Chris and Willow match before we talk about the men's bracket, and then we'll talk about the main event.
Okay.
Matthew Hook says AEW should do an all-women's Rampage at some point, at the very least. Like, do an all-women's Dynamite. Make it a major deal. Make it an all-women's show. Like, name it something. Or do a pay-per-view. Do something. I don't know. Like, especially if you're going to be on Max and it's going to be, like, just part of the deal, do an extra one. I don't know. But, like, you have all these women, and they're really, the division is really coming into its own, especially if we get people back who are healthy, when Julia Hart is back, if Jamie Hayter comes back good soon, Britt Baker. Like, once you have a fairly full gamut of everybody, you could easily do, at bare minimum, an AEW Rampage full of women.
Sure. I think there are so many complexities in relationships right now, too, that I think a women's blood and guts might be sooner than later as a possibility. Like, Sky Blue was just in the media saying that she'd love to be a part of one, and I was like, man, we were going there, and then the Jamie Hayter injury, but, like, there's so many pure rivals and feuds now that it feels like that's such a logical step. So I think that maybe is the next step. And doing that for like an entire episode of Rampage, a blood and guts Rampage, would be so cool. So cool.
Yeah. Sawyer says, I need promo segments between Nyla and Stokely. The women's division keeps being the best of a part of AEW. That's with Samoa Joe and Hook in the mix. Women's division is kicking ass. As evidenced by Chris Statlander, who is at her peak. Nyla Rose looked great, but this was about Statlander looking unstoppable.
Nyla's job tonight was to help make Chris Statlander look unstoppable.
Right.
Yeah, and she did it an excellent did it perfectly. Job.
Because it was like it was great to see her back. She got a really good response, and because she's from DC and they're in Virginia. But also just really cool to see a really great response from people for her. I don't think I've ever seen somebody pluck a person off the top rope into a tombstone before. Like,
yes,
especially somebody the size of Nyla Rose. That was for the rest of the match was excellent. The finisher and also Shivani's response, which was like, oh my God. Like, it was just this.
It felt like he genuinely had never seen that before, too, which is makes wrestling really fun.
Yes. Yeah. I thought that was, I had not seen that before. I like her winning with the tombstone in that way. And again, you have her beat Nyla Rose, someone of her size and someone of her, not only just stature in how big she is, but stature within the company as a former women's champion. Like, and Chris basically ran through her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and so it becomes now Willow has to go through Serena Deeb, and Serena Deeb is the kind of person who likes to work out a limb or two.
Yeah.
So even if Willow comes out, she's not going to be 100% versus Statlander. And that's why I say Stat wins versus Willow in this round. And then you can extend the feud beyond the Owen.
Sure.
And it would be, it honestly, it would be really interesting to see if the title match wasn't attached, Stat winning the Owen that Willow won last year by beating Willow in the tournament to get to that point would be great. But I feel like it's too perfect to have Tony insist that Mariah May be in the Owen, to then have Mariah May win the Owen, and then have Mariah May face Tony Storm at Wembley, and then have Mariah May win the title. Like, it's just too perfect. And they've laid it out in that such a way to, like, derail that on purpose. Not with, like, in real life, like, in an actual tournament of real sporting events. It looks perfect, like someone set up to win the Super Bowl, but they get upset in the second round because somebody had 6 touchdown passes. You know what I mean? It's not like that at all.
It's just time. Like, it's just time, I think. The iron is hot. Go strike it. Yep. The Mina love triangle has been great. And you don't want to drag that out too long because then right. It starts to feel weird. But yeah. I think you're right in that Willow re-chasing is good. And if she just beats Stat, that's not very satisfying. This is where it being a 2-round tournament is kind of tough. Because mm-hmm. if they had gone on their separate paths to beat here, I think that would feel very intense and personal. But it's personal enough that Willow can say, you blocked my spot. We're gonna take this outside of the tournament. Yep. Willow's, we're so in love with her. Like, her chasing Stat around is going to be great. But this match was accomplished exactly what it needed to. Chris looks amazing. This woman came back from multiple injuries, like, and she just looks better than ever, which is wonderful to see. Stoke playing his role perfectly, I think. Really, really also finding the same sweet spot as Nana of yeah. making sure I'm showcasing my client while also being entertaining. Like, he's finding that. So some good stuff there. And it's just awesome to see how the test of a good tournament is how many stories can get set up outside of the tournament.
Right.
And when you have a 2-round tournament, that doesn't feel very rich. But I feel like with the women's side, we are going to get a lot of that. We are going to get a lot of that.
See, Delgado mentioning, and this is true, there's a path where Mariah could beat everyone Tony has beaten as world champ to win the Owen. She would beat Soraya. She would then beat Deonna Purrazzo. She would then beat either Statlander or Serena Deeb. Like, that's
a lot of the defenses, yeah.
That becomes like a thing of like, not, like she fully deserves it. She beat all the women that Tony did. That would be very interesting as well.
And Tony faced Sheeta, right? So
yeah, exactly. She could also do that too. They've kind of laid it up like no matter who she faces in all these rounds, she's actually going to do that.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Man, if you know what the learning tree would be great if Jericho wasn't in it. That's what it is. The learning, Big Bill does Jericho's gimmick way better than Jericho because he's an actual person and Jericho is a cartoon character. You know what I mean? Like, Big Bill's does the same shtick. Brian Keith does a different thing. He plays against what you're so he undercuts it. But Big Bill's just doing the same gimmick that Jericho's doing, but he's doing it better because he's not behaving the way Jericho is. You know what I mean? Like, it's funny to have Jericho say the things that we all say that he says behind closed doors. Like, if they ask you to do the Mexican pile driver, just do what I did. Say, that doesn't work for me, brother, and don't do it. But the way he's doing it, though, is way more over the top than I'm doing it. If Big Bill has been doing it, too, it's like, you guys made quite the impression last week. But remember, not all impressions are good impressions. Like, that's the same thing, but it's rooted in an actual human being as opposed to whatever weird, crazy Muppet stuff that Jericho's doing.
I think, first of all, just much easier to handle when it's one segment on the show. It is one backstage. I didn't mind. I kind of like that all three of them do something different. Like, Big Bill hits the authentic sweet spot. Jericho's always going to be over the top with it. And I think it's because we got here in a sarcastic way, right? Like, this was never the intention. I minded much less what Jericho was doing tonight because I only had to see it for that small bit of time.
It was See, it was only once, and it was really short.
Yeah.
Usually, it's either five times really short or one time really long. This, the short thing, give me, and also like here at the end, in between a bunch of stuff that I don't really have to pay attention to it. Great, awesome.
And Jericho also has the career to stand on to say he's a learning tree, which I appreciate. When he's doing stuff of being like naming the move in Spanish and being like, "That's pile driver for all you plebs," like that kind of stuff, I'm with on this. Big Bill's killing it, which is awesome, and Brian Keith doing something completely adjacent feels like the one who's going to turn on all this is good. So like, this is how much I liked this episode of Dynamite. I'm actually kind of fine with this.
I mean, it was the most inoffensive that it's ever been.
Yes. It was also the shortest. Mm-hmm. And everything that was said had a point, which was refreshing.
Nonstop Goose says, "Why do people think Alex is never sour about AEW?" I don't know. I mean, they must never watch me talk about Jericho.
Because it's convenient for them. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's true. So, okay, so yeah, pretty private party is the one who's getting talked to by the learning tree. They're gonna have their match versus them on Collision. Meet Norma says, "Was the disco ball cowboy hat distracting on TV? It was blinding me." Was there a disco ball cowboy hat? I missed it. So it was not distracting them on TV because I didn't see it.
No, yeah, I was gonna say that was not
was it during this segment? I only asked because that's where Luis put this super chat. So I don't know. I did not see that.
I was not distracted by a disco ball cowboy hat.
So
seems like something Ian Riccaboni would wear, though, which I respect.
Daniel Garcia defeated Rhett Titus. And then
I see him around again.
And then And then we say we got Matt Menard, who's on commentary for all of 48 seconds, getting attacked by the Gates of Agony. And Daniel Garcia gets attacked by Hechicero. And then we get MJF running out to save, I guess just to attack Hechicero. Like, it is, I guess, because he called him out earlier, even though there was no violence yet. It feels like something that MJF would be the kind of guy who is watching this backstage, but takes no action because it does not affect him in any way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But he ends up saving Daniel Garcia, and then Will Ospreay, then he gets taken out, and then Will Ospreay comes out to save MJF, runs everybody off, and he and MJF have a stare down with Daniel Garcia just like sitting in the corner like he was a bad little boy who had to go to timeout.
Well, Will came down to save DG.
Well,
not Max.
Max came out second and Will came out last. And he did not come out to save Daniel Garcia.
That's what he said backstage, though, was that he didn't. He said, I don't give a shit about Max. I came down for Danny.
It's weird that it took him so long to get there because Max was already there.
No, I get it.
I mean, like, he could have come out first, but he didn't. He waited for Max to come down there and get his ass kicked, and then he came down there.
This whole segment sucked.
This feels like you're doing too much at once with one storyline. I don't know. We don't have to start any of this between Max and Will Ospreay until after the Will Ospreay and Swerve match. If you want to be like, because Swerve is like,
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Marino has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Marino take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, askmepeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
You can't focus on both things at the same time. And the other thing he's focused on is Daniel Garcia saying, I want the international title. Then that is, he's pulled in two directions, and that's fine. You don't need to pull Will in three directions. That feels weird. Like, are you grabbing a leg? Like, just one arm, that's fine. You don't need to grab a leg, too. That's weird.
This was very convoluted, and I can't imagine how confusing it was live. Though I will say MJF and Ospreay's music hitting huge pops for both of them, which is always fun. The backstage was a little bit clearer and stronger, and the stare down got a huge reaction, both live and in my living room. So very excited to see that. I also, the idea of Ospreay versus MJF, like, I'm salivating at that match. Right. And I think that it could be really, really fun. It would require MJF to be firmly heel, I think. But I think, aside from your champion, who is a shades of gray heel, Will's just about as over of a babyface in the world as there is right now. Right. So that could be a really cool program to do it in. But I thought this was the only thing on the show that didn't work. And because it came after the learning tree, I think we get to blame it on the learning tree.
It's all their fault. They ruined everything. Vicky L says, hi, KLX. Thanks for all you do. Here's my cash for Ospreay. Loved Angry Will tonight. Loved him calling Cage a wanker. LOL. Best $5. Love you guys. Yeah, Brian Cage has now decided he's going to challenge Will Ospreay for the international title on Collision, which I feel
so
like...
Well,
anybody but Daniel Garcia, apparently. So that's a weird thing. They are doing a Dynamite in Buffalo.
I think that's, yeah.
So that's where they're going to do it, I'm almost sure. But it feels like they're just doing a bunch of other stuff until they get around to that. So
I love how much he's defending because he's the best wrestler in the world. Yeah, and no, be defending
and
that
that's,
much?
That's going to be their workhorse title now. So
I also decided that like Will has to do his full entrance even when he's running down to the ring. Mm-hmm. Like I think it would be hilarious if he was running in to make saves. Yeah. And he still had to do his full entrance because it's so over. I've just decided that as a rule.
So some stuff that's been announced for Collision.
I'm going tomorrow, by the way.
Yes, you will be there. Ospreay versus Brian Cage. Learning Tree versus Private Party. Most importantly, a Continental title eliminator match between Okada and Ultimo Guerrero, who is 52 years old, one of the best bases in CMLL, one of the best rudos to ever stepped foot in CMLL, who also works as a great baby face. Also, he likes to spam the raise the roof taunt and it effing rules. That's from Luis. So.
You should have taken full credit for that. Nobody would have known.
I would not. I would not. listen, if he's a Guerrero and the Ultimo one, I'm in.
That's it. So I've learned everything I need to know.
Private Party versus Commander Metalik will be fun. Leo Rush versus Action Andretti for the TNT qualifier.
Oh yeah, okay.
Leo Rush probably getting into the TNT title match. That'll be a lot of fun. I'm so glad to have Leo Rush back hanging out.
Yeah,
and you know, that's good. Serena Deeb versus Willow in the Owen, and another match. Shingo Takagi will be in action, so that'll be fun for you. All right,
that will be very fun for me. Thank you.
Bracketology for the men. So there's the thing. So we're getting Rey Fénix and Jay White in round one. That should be great. I expect Jay White to win. Brian Danielson will face Shingo Takagi in the first round, but that will not be until Forbidden Door. So you are having, I assume, the last first round match on June 30th, and the finals will be on July 10th. So there's a lot.
They're doing the most.
But there's this weird match over here on the bottom right in the bracket that is Jeff Jarrett versus a wild card. Jeff Jarrett, of course,
gonna be Rick
for those people who don't know, because it does seem kind of like out of left field. Jeff Jarrett and Owen Hart were very, very good friends. And so it is kind of like a tribute to that. If you can do an Owen Hart tournament, you have his best friend in it. That makes sense to me. Also, he's going to get ran through by whoever this wild card is.
Sure.
You know what I mean? The wild card It doesn't make sense to me if it's just a member of your roster to call it a wild card.
The Especially only forbidden door the, season,
the
too.
The only wild card I will accept because of the way he left and how he might come back is Hangman. Because if it's just going to be a guy who's a wild card in the who's in the tournament, and anyone else who's been out for a while, if it's Ricky Starks, then don't do it as a wild card. Have Ricky Starks come out as a surprise on this Dynamite, have his music hit, have him come down and cut a promo in a minute and a half that says, I won the Owen last year, and they'll be damned if I don't defend that title this year. Ricky Starks is back, and he does his little pose, and everyone loves it. You don't have him be a wild card unless it's going to be a major surprise. The other thing is, apparently, Ricochet's done and his contract is over and will be done, fully done, by for 1st of July. And if Danielson's first round match is on June 30th, there's really no reason why we couldn't squeeze in some Ricochet matches starting on July 3rd or whenever that is. Like, there's some really cool stuff you could do that. I don't want to get my hopes up, but I have gotten my hopes up. It needs to be Ricochet and it could be nobody else.
Do we know it's the beginning of July for Ricochet's contract?
Listen, the idea that it should he will be a free agent by July to me since July 1st. It doesn't say by mid-July or the end of July. It says by July.
There's a lot of contracts up, okay? I'm just trying to keep
it. I don't mind it being Hangman because Hangman would murder Jeff Jarrett, and then he would go on to face Jay White in the second round. They have a lot of history, even if they're both heels. And that's fine. And then in the finals, you get Bryan Danielson versus Hangman. But a whole different kind of Hangman.
Yeah, I think.
However, you could just have Hangman come back and join the Elite and do the thing for Blood and Guts or whatever they're going to do. And separately of all that, you could have Ricochet debut, beat Jeff Jarrett in 3 minutes, have an amazing match with Jay White that starts a blood feud between the two of them that lasts for a year. And Ricochet in the finals versus Bryan Danielson. You could do that, and I would also be a very happy camper.
Yeah, if it were Ricochet, that would be incredible, obviously. And the idea of like him, Jeff Jarrett being a sacrificial lamb for a Ricochet debut is fine. Him and Jay White would be insane, and him going to the finals to probably face Bryan Danielson would be bonkers. Mm-hmm. Hangman coming back in the spot makes the most sense to me. Mm-hmm. And with the exact path that you said, I think you get to Hangman, Danielson 3 via the tournament, which is awesome because it's such a different tenor for that. And I think, I mean, Hangman versus Swerve at Wembley? Danielson versus Swerve at Wembley?
Right.
There is not a wrong call there. And I really think that could go either way. My heart says Danielson because I feel like Hangman coming back to Swerve again feels really, really soon. Like, you take the time that Hangman was out, he's just only obsessed with Swerve.
He wants that, but if he comes up against Danielson and Danielson beats him, that further makes him crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's interesting, too. Cyclo saying it'd be big balls of AEW to bet on Ricochet immediately coming to AEW. Like, I feel like he probably texted Ospreay saying, as soon as I can, I'm signing with you guys. But, like, the idea that you have a wild card there because in case he doesn't sign, you just put somebody else in the tournament. You know what I mean? Like, that's an easy way to do it.
But this guy sure as heck hasn't re-signed at WWE yet. Dijak coming in. Dijak coming into the Owen feels a little weird, honestly. Like, that feels a little bit like not the guy for that particular tournament, but I love Dijak, so someone put this guy on my television or in my purview, please.
Tony Baloney says, wonder if Double J is taking on Tommy Billington. I can't see that being listed as a wild card. I just don't think that's a... Alex Lawrence trolling says, can't wait for Jeff Jarrett to beat Bryan Danielson to win the Owen. Ha 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 ha. Inflatable Carnival seems to think that MJF is the wild card. Swerve versus MJF at Wembley. We're doing Will Ospreay versus MJF at Wembley. I feel like that's kind of implied by what we got tonight. Their stare down is not going to be on a random episode of Dynamite. Nothing as far as I know. They don't have anything lined up for July, so it's just Forbidden Door, all in. So there's nowhere else for them to do that. So I'm pretty sure we're going to do that.
And I feel like, honestly, MJF should, being in the Owen would make sense because he should want to come back and get the title back. Like that, that makes plenty of sense to me, but it does feel like now he is pulled in several directions. Him and Roosh hate each other. Mm-hmm. He's got Etchicero to deal with, and Ospreay and him now have a beef. So I also think you want to get MJF proper heel. Will Ospreay at Wembley is a pretty damn good way to do it.
Right. So he's saying Luis is saying that if Garcia would actually win the international title at All Out, maybe that would be part of it as well. Not sure. But they would actually put this off for that long. Oh yeah, Mustafa Ali. Have that be fun. Mustafa
it
Ali
would be, but it's not.
It's like, a wild card. It'd be nice.
He's undefeated and he's in TNA. So
yeah. I mean, listen, his first loss being to Bryan Danielson would be fine.
In an Owen tournament? Yeah.
It'd be fine. We got Pac defeating Claudio Castagnoli with Bryan on commentary. Bryan Danielson needs to be on commentary for every match. Here's what I need for him. Not for every match. I need to have an alternate title track where I can just watch him be excited about watching guys wrestle. Like, I could just turn my feed to audio of Bryan Danielson being really happy to watch guys wrestle that he likes. Because I don't need him to actually be the commentary all the time, but Bryan Danielson taking utter joy in watching the art of professional wrestling makes me happy inside. And so few things do at this point.
It's just hard because I feel the same as you do, but like in the back of my head, I just have this moral and ethical conflict that he is a clam digger. He digs clams. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. So it's just hard for me to like let go right. of that and get lost in the moment, knowing that there is a commentator who does not dig clams, who's incredibly unbiased and skilled and has never taken a side in his life. Mm-hmm. So like, if Nigel McGuinness isn't available, who was ranked number 6 in PWI in 2009, Bryan Danielson, who was ranked 27th in PWI in 2009, is a suitable choice, but I just, it's hard for me to set that aside personally.
Right. So Pac wins here, or a crucifix out of a whole bunch of different pinning combinations.
So much fun.
This is really fun. But Pac wins. Claudio is very upset by this, and Danielson is like to Claudio, "Hey man, it happens to the best of us. Don't get down about it." And Claudio just doesn't want to talk to anybody about it. Maddie Nice though has a great idea from your thing that Nigel should screw Bryan Danielson in his match with Pac, and Pac will then win at Wembley and pays off the OG press conference tease. This is my dream.
I think that's a beautiful dream. I am personally of the belief that you learn from the mistakes of previous Royal Rumbles. Mm. And if Bryan Danielson is in it, you should have him win probably and go on to face Swerve. Though Hangman at Wembley, assuming he is the wild card, which is a big assumption, would be incredible as that story furthers. Bryan Danielson, especially if the Owen is the only title Bryan Danielson wins in AEW, like, that's beautiful. Yeah. That's, like, a really beautiful legacy in your retirement year to have. And there's no bigger win that Swerve could get than winning at Wembley. The other option is we have Bryan Danielson as the world champion. So to me, that just feels like the winningest scenario of all winning scenarios. But I would want Bryan Danielson in pretty much everything if I had my druthers.
Yeah. I kind of wanted the final to have to be Pac versus Danielson, but
especially
I understand
Pac at Wembley, like
the wild card is there, but like we'll see. That was the show. We have some stray sour chats. Not sour chats. Humper and super chats. Some puns. Well, first of all, let's say some nice things, because Kevin Page says more Kate equals more better. This works for me, brother.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And Kylie Kyrick says, SGS for life. Kate and Alex are the bestest.
Thank you.
So this is nice. That's also very nice.
You can send in those all the time and for free. I mean, we prefer your money, but if you're just going to say nice stuff.
Yeah, it's fine. Jesse Ozog says that they are going to Dynamite and Collision next week.
Oh, have so much fun. It's so fun to go to live wrestling.
Yes, for sure.
Tomorrow's my cousin's first AEW show, and I get to take him. So he's a grown-up, but like it'll be so much fun. It's his birthday, too. So.
Mike Lima 777 says, just watch Dynamite, plus Kendrick nuking Drake. I'm sorry, but Kendrick Lamar won Hater of the Decade. I am far too out of the loop.
I just love the idea that, like,
understand what any of this is, but yes, I agree.
I like the idea that the top haters in our lives are Kendrick Lamar, mm-hmm. Drew McIntyre, Nigel McGuinness, Daniel Garcia, probably.
Right. Okay. Some puns and then one weird jukebox. Chi-Town Spurs says Karrion CrossFit. Just Ricardo says Nikki Cross Country.
Karrion CrossFit's great.
Jay Smith says Jumping Jack Perry. Karrion CrossFit. Eddie Guerrero. Like
you're like rowing. Giro? Yeah. Like a rowing machine?
And CM Pump. Jesse Ozog says Lifting Bam Bam Big Heavyweights.
I love that we have our standards. You got a Bam Bam Bigelow one. I got a ZSJ and Techno Team 2001.
Jay Smith says Cardio Castagnoli, which is excellent. That might be top two.
Oh, that's so good.
Cardio Castagnoli might be top two.
That's really good.
But I also like this one from Jay Smith. Mark Brisk Walk. I'm going to take just a brisk walk. That's
brisk
great.
Brisk walk is excellent.
Yeah. Okay. Tim McFowl says, more monies for the ghost of Dusty Rhodes to review the Briscoe promo. Who had OC, Mark, and Kyle O'Reilly being the best trio in AEW? Strap them up, TK, you coward. Listen, they pay money. Apparently, I'm going to have to go do a seance here, but I'll be back.
Okay. We do weird voices and have fun at that. Oh, my goodness.
It's me over here. Now, somebody asked me to come up from the great beyond to review a promo from Mark Briscoe. By the way, Jay says hello. He loves you dearly, and he says you're doing a fantastic job. But I'm up here in Wrestler Heaven, and we watched tonight. Of course, it was fantastic. I am also a big fan of words that are very long. I do not understand, and it's hard for me to pronounce. So, conglomeration is a fantastic word here. We love this very much.
Sure,
that was a fantastic. And also that Kyle O'Reilly, he will follow you anywhere. So he is a walk behinder. Because that is apparently what I have called to my son, Cody Rhodes. The word follower is actually a walk behind her.
There you go.
That's hard times. All right. I'm going back to the great beyond. Oh, bye-bye.
Hi. Thank you so much for joining.
All right. Okay. That's good. that's it. And I will be hosting a post-forbidden door thing. With Alexis Cardoza, because you were abandoning me again, Kate.
Sorry, I have to ask the hard-hitting questions that yield results like Tony Storm talking about Wendy Richter now.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
Like
6 months
at this point, I will be at Forbidden Door, so please come say hi. I'll also be at Collision and Rampage taping tomorrow, so please say hi if you're in Allentown. And SB3 will be hosting the ROH show alongside a co-host. So tune in for that. But subscribe to Fightful Select for plenty more news coming around the corner.
All right. Goodbye, everybody. Bye. We love you.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Most tax pros leave a message. it's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.